1240WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradman Show.
Well, welcome to the show. It seems like forever since we've had anything, but away with the OVC tournament, girls Sweet 16, and then last week a couple of games of the boys Sweet 16. But I am back. Very happy to be back. Delighted to be bringing you shows. And we will be back on target this week with Josh Plinos joining me for Tuesday in his usual chat. We appreciate Josh bearing with us with our scheduling issues. And then Ed Marlowe returns. It seems like forever since I've spoken to Ed as well. But we'll get Ed's take on the wrap-up of the high school and the college basketball season. Really terrific. And I know I've already talked about the end of the Murray State season. But usually when the regular season ends, it's on to postseason play. This year wasn't one of those, even though six teams from the Ohio Valley Conference did go, and one of them played yesterday, saw their season end, another one plays tonight, and we'll tell you about that in a minute. But fortunate enough to once again do the girls' Sweet 16, and it was really special this year. I know the first year that I was able to do this, it was an amazing run by Rockcastle County, but Callaway County was up at the Sweet 16, went to the Final Four, and I was really honored to watch what the Lady Lakers did and see Scott Civils and Avery Fields and the rest of the Lady Lakers. So that made it really special when I get to see people I know and families and friends of the people who are associated with the team do well. And this year I was able to do that once again with Murray High's Lady Tigers. And I mean, you talk about a terrific team to be able to watch them and follow their journey, watch them in the regional championship game. And you knew just from what they had done last year to what they'd accomplished this season that they're probably going to have a really good showing, even though their path was going to be difficult, somehow having to figure out a way to beat one of the top teams in the state in Manuel in the opening game. They did that, then defeated Owensboro Catholic in game three. They're taking on what would turn out to be the eventual state champion, Butler. Looked like, you know, any normal team, I think, would have maybe just waved the flag and go, okay, we're beaten, but not this team. They rallied, fought, clawed their way back to within two, and in the closing couple of minutes had a chance to come back and win that game. Never could get the basket or two they needed to take the lead, but it certainly wasn't because of the fight or desire. And to watch those young ladies, the coaching staff, Coach Carr over there, Rochelle Turner, Amber Guffey, and all the others who are associated with the program, I know, just, you know, they step back a little bit now and say, wow, what an accomplishment with the season record number of wins, with the battle to the Final Four in the state, the All-A championship under their belt, district championship, region championship. That's a lot of hardware just for one school in one year. And they have four starters coming back, and I know they're going to be hungry to get back and maybe bump up a little more next season. Remember, that's kind of what happened to them this past year when they fell just short at the All-A Classic the year before. Well, that propelled them to want to take it up a notch and win it, and they did. And perhaps that's going to be the fire lit under them for next season. But as we mentioned in our wrap-up of the tournament, there's, I'm sure, several schools. You get your Marshall and Graves and McCracken. They want to have something to say about that, too. So everybody wants to go because it is a terrific experience, and I was blessed to be a part of that. Chuck Mraz, who is the voice of the Moorhead State Eagles, he handles play-by-play duties with me. Julie McGrain Munz, Julie McGrain's who she was known as when she played at Moorhead State. She helps with the color duties, and Mina Todd, who is famous in her own right, is a Callaway County Lady Laker who helped take her team along with Rose Elder, Rose Ross is who she was known as then, go on to the girls' state tournament. So, and then she's had her success as a coach. But they help us with the color analysis, and it was really a great event. And then last week, I hadn't been to a Sweet 16 to call a game for the boys since Murray won the last time. That was back in 1977. And Travis, as you know, he is the new head baseball coach at Callaway County High School. He also is the voice of our Tiger basketball, Lady Tigers, but he had the conflict with the season beginning for his Lakers on Thursday. So understandably wanted to be sure that he was there for all that. Picked up a win in game one, so our congratulations. That afforded me an opportunity to fill in for him, and I really enjoyed watching Murray dismantle Buckhorn. What a terrific, terrific game they had in game one. But really ran into a buzzsaw on Friday, a day when the Tigers just really had a tough time making their shots, and Newport Central Catholic couldn't miss. And they would go on to lose in the semifinals. But nevertheless, it was a really wonderful run for the Tigers, something they can really be proud of as well. Now, they're more of a senior-laden team. Now, the cupboard, as Bart Fleener said in the post-game press conference, the cupboard is not even close to bare, really isn't. But they lose a lot of firepower from that team, but they get to build on, you know, Preston English and some of the other younger players who've come off the bench this season, and still be a really stout team, but a lot to reload and rebuild from as they try to go back-to-back for next season. The eventual champion, well, that went to Dunbar. They rolled out of the gate yesterday with a 15-2 lead. Went on to a 61-52 win over Louisville Doss. It's their first boys' Sweet 16 championship. They end the season 33-6. I don't know if you go by the Litkin House ratings, but if you do, at least this season, there at the end, they were right. Dunbar was ranked number one. Dunbar was the winner. They're the first public school from Lexington to win the title since Lafayette defeated Mayo back in 2001. All right. So, again, I'm glad to be back, although it was terrific. Those things are grueling from a travel standpoint to go OVC tournament, girls Sweet 16, boys Sweet 16, back to back to back. It's certainly good to be home, and can't wait to talk about all sorts of sports. And we're going to get you caught up with all the local stuff, but just a few notes as we were really treated to some terrific NCAA tournament games this week. I was in Lexington Thursday when the round of 64 began, and I had the hotel room and was able to watch games in there for a while. Ed Marlowe and I had, I guess you would call it an afternoon lunch or whatever, whatever you eat in the mid-afternoon. I don't know if that's a brupper or whatever you call it, but we went out to Buffalo Wild Wings there a couple miles from the hotel. Took in some basketball and watched some of the endings there. Ed cheers a lot while he's watching games, and not as much as me, but he was in his big fandom there. And we had a really, really good time. Ed was doing an article on me. Do appreciate that he did a really good job on it. Not sure why, but he wanted to do one on the 25 years of doing racer games. So again, thanks to Ed for doing that and giving me a little bit of company there in the afternoon. But I'll be honest, day one I thought, well, this, even though when the season was going on with all the parity there seemed to be in basketball, I said this could really be a wild NCAA tournament. But day one didn't provide me with the drama that I like. But then day two was nuts. On the way back from the state tournament, I actually pulled off in Beaver Dam to watch on the phone, thankful for technology, to be able to watch the Middle Tennessee and Michigan State game. Middle Tennessee won. Chip Walter, who is a friend of mine, who is the play-by-play voice of Middle Tennessee basketball, he had a terrific run in this season. Remember, that started with losing to Murray State in their season opener, but came up with that big victory against Michigan State. Couldn't get it done, just couldn't make the shots yesterday to advance. But anytime a 15 beats a 2, you know that you have made history, and it's going to be one that's going to be talked about for many, many years. And that was tip of the iceberg. The games were just fantastic on Friday night. Saturday, much of the same. Those endings Saturday night were just eye-popping. Kentucky with a really interesting game against Indiana. I know it didn't go the way Cats fans wanted, but it took Indiana playing, to me, just a fabulous game, even though they were kind of the walking wounded there with a couple of players. Still got it done. Kentucky just didn't make shots perhaps they normally make. And for Cats fans, folks, come on. You've been to Final Fours, what, four of the last five seasons, so, and you have a national championship in there. That's not too bad at all. But I realize they hope and expect more, and should have a really good recruiting season next year. Many think could be one of the best ever, not the best ever. I don't know. To me, the only way you can figure out how to rank those is how you end up finishing. And, you know, this year was a good year. Just wasn't a great year when you compare to the year before. How could it be when you're within a whisker of running the table in college basketball? But nevertheless, you have just some intriguing wins last night. It was sad to watch Billy Kennedy losing in the closing minutes. I thought they were going to have a chance to win that game, so I averted my attention away. The wife wanted to watch something, so I put it on the laptop and sort of was passively watching, and then suddenly was stunned when Billy Kennedy wasn't going to lose. Here's Billy Kennedy and his team pulling off just a miracle of sorts, down 12 with under 45 seconds to go. I mean, come on. You're supposed to give up, let them run the clock out, but instead they forced numerous turnovers, able to get it to overtime, win it in overtime. And Texas A&M, the only SEC team left standing into the round of 16. And we have two former Murray State head coaches, with Coach Prohm getting in there the day before. Really convincing win for Steve against a team that I didn't pick them to beat Arkansas Little Rock because I didn't believe they would be playing them. I thought they would be playing Purdue, thought they might have a very difficult time with Purdue. Didn't happen. And a very big congratulations to Steve. Steve has done a terrific job coaching the team. He does need to take a few moments out this summer and work on his dance. His dance, compared to Billy Kennedy's from earlier this season, man, it's rough. It is rough. I texted Steve about that. And congratulated him. Got some exclamation marks from him. Thanks, pretty much just on the getting there. But Steve was really, you tell, honestly, all joking aside, he's having a lot of fun. And the pressure's got to be really off of him now when you replace a legend. Coach Hoiberg had gone to 116 during his coaching career there, and Steve has now equaled that. Now, it isn't the best that Iowa State's been to. They've been to a few Sweet 16s, some of those when there weren't as many teams in the tournament. And then, of course, with Coach Eustacey back in 2000, they went to the Elite Eight with, a 32-win team. That's the best they've ever done. So he still needs to get some work done to get to that point, and that will be difficult going up against Virginia. But anyone, and it doesn't really prove the conferences are best, but it certainly gives you bullets for argument when you take a look at six ACC teams remaining from the Sweet 16, Miami, Duke, Virginia, Notre Dame, Syracuse, and North Carolina. There's three from the Big 12, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Iowa State. Three from the Big 10 in Maryland, Wisconsin, and Indiana. One from the SEC, one from the Big East, one from the Pac-12, and one from the West Coast in Gonzaga. So, again, unless you want to go out there and say Gonzaga is a mid-major, I don't agree with that, but you may want to say that. If you say that, then that's the only one that's remaining in there. And you can't really consider Villanova a mid-major either out of the Big East. They used to call it BCS, I guess, bowl division school, but that's kind of what you're looking at from those schools that are remaining. Should be some good basketball, but I really cannot possibly understand how it could top what we had Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, that's, to me, what the tournament is all about. Underdogs doing underdog things, miraculous shots, miraculous wins, and the heroes born in a moment. And it was certainly fun to watch. If you are in a spot where you must listen, and I admit, come on, I watch when I can, but sometimes I am forced to listen when I'm driving, out running errands. We do have our coverage that will continue on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. We'll have the tip-offs of every game, and Westwood One, if you listen to our coverage, you know they go to the most intriguing action. If there's a good finish, they'll get you to that, and we'll have our coverage beginning at 6 Thursday night and at 6 Friday night on 1340 WNBS, where you will hear the national championship. All right, let's get you caught up with the spring sports. Murray State's Ramsey Scott hit a leadoff home run in the second inning yesterday. The Racers then used a three-run sixth to give themselves a four-run cushion. That's all they would need in beating SIU Edwardsville yesterday in the rubber game of a three-game series played at Reagan Field. Ryan Dills pitched well. He went 6 2/3 of shutout baseball, picked up the win. Brandon Hicks finished the game with 2 1/3 scoreless innings. With the win, the Racers improved to 10-12 overall. 3-3 in the OVC. MSU returns to action Tuesday as Memphis comes to Reagan Field for a 6 p.m. game. Murray State softball, 20 hits yesterday, beating SEMO in Cape 16-5. A 47-minute first inning for Murray State. They scored a school-record 11 runs. Lee Kessel, 4-for-4 in the contest to go with 3 runs. Shelby Miller, 4-for-5, 3 runs. She drove in 2. Mason Robinson picked up the win to go to 7-7. Murray will be back in action Wednesday. They will travel to Lexington to take on 15th-ranked Kentucky. Ball State rallied from 11 points down with 1:56 left in regulation. They forced overtime and went on to beat UT Martin 83-80 in the second round of the CollegeInsider.com postseason tournament. With that loss, Martin's season is over, 20-15. Meanwhile, Morehead State continues play in the CBI tonight. They will host Duquesne in a 6 p.m. game that you can watch on the OVC digital network. Jessica January's 2 free throws with 14.5 seconds left sent DePaul to the women's Sweet 16 with a 73-72 upset over Louisville, ending the Cardinals' season at 26-8. Brianna Jackson led the Cardinals with 20 points. Third-seeded Kentucky's women will look to advance to the Sweet 16. They will play sixth-seeded Oklahoma today at 5:30. This Kentucky women's team, they're the final Kentucky team left in either the men's or the women's NCAA tournament. The Murray State men's golf team carted a 6-under par 282 to grab the first-round lead at the Bobby Nichols Intercollegiate in Sevierville, Tennessee, led by Preston French's 5-under 67. The Racers have a 6-shot lead over Oakland and Western Kentucky. They each shot an even par 288. Jared Gosser shot a 3-under 69. That's good for a spot in fourth place among 78 competitors. Brock Simmons had a 2-under 70. He's in sixth. They're going to play round two today. Murray State's Moa Folk had an opening round even par 72. She's in fifth in a field of 117 competitors at the Citrus Challenge in Sorrento, Florida. The Racers are in 10th place from among 20 teams with a 301. Jacksonville State is the first-round leader at 292. Other Racer scores, Sydney Trimble, a 73. She's 10th. Jacqueline Van Meter, 76. She is in 42nd. Both of our local high school softball teams participated in the Marshall County Slugfest over the weekend. Murray High went 4-0. They beat Union City 5-4. Jefferson Town 17-4, Mahomet Seymour 10-6, and Boone County 8-5. So they'll take a 5-0-1 record into the game this evening at 6 at home against Paducah Tillman. Galloway County went 1-3 at the Slugfest, beating Mahomet Seymour 1-0, but they lost to Butler County 13-1, Jefferson Town 6-2, and Union City 16-1. The 3-3 Lakers, they will play at St. Mary today. The Murray High School baseball team continued its great start by completing a 3-game sweep at the Tom Hulsey Memorial Classic at Hickman County. They defeated Lake County 8-1 on Friday. The Tigers hammered Fulton County 22-1 and then Hickman County 9-3 on Saturday. Murray is 4-0. They resume play tomorrow with a home game against Graves County. Callaway County will also be back in action tomorrow. They will host Mayfield. The 1-2 Lakers lost a 12-10 slugfest at Hopkinsville Friday before returning home and falling to Davis County 6-1 on Saturday. Kentucky sophomore guard Tyler Euless is one of four finalists for the Naismith Trophy, awarded annually by the Atlanta Tip-Off Club to the nation's most outstanding player of the year. Euless is a finalist with Virginia's Malcolm Brogdon, Oklahoma's Buddy Hield, and Michigan State's Denzel Valentine. Euless is the only non-senior of the four. Euless' 2015-16 season ended Saturday in the second round of the NCAA tournament, but the Chicago native led the Cats to a share of the SEC regular season championship, the SEC tournament title, and a 27-9 overall record. Let's get a Cardinals update for you in just a moment. I still have a little bit more Murray State action. Dropped it below here for some reason. The Murray State men's tennis team launched their second straight OVC match. They fell to Eastern Kentucky 7-0 in Richmond Saturday. Murray now 2-12 overall, 0-2 in the OVC. They will return home for OVC matches Friday when they host Eastern Illinois at 1. They also play SIU Edwardsville Saturday at 1. This past Saturday, the women's tennis team also suffering their first loss in OVC play. They were defeated by Eastern Kentucky 7-0 in Richmond. The Racers back on the road Wednesday for their last non-conference match. They'll take on Middle Tennessee at 2 p.m. Murray State returns home Friday at 10 a.m. to play Eastern Illinois. Now here's that Cardinals update. Kevin Segrist gave up a pair of runs in the eighth inning. The Cardinals lost to the Marlins 5-2 at Roger Dean Stadium. Mike Leake fanned four over five innings of five-hit, one-run ball. Matt Carpenter had a couple of hits and an RBI for the Cardinals. They host the Red Sox today. You can hear that at 11:55 this morning on WNBS. Shortstop Ruben Tejada made his Cardinals debut against the Marlins. He was 1-for-4, also had a couple of nice defensive plays. Tejada joined the Cardinals on Saturday after being released by the Mets last week. Johnny Peralta is recovering from thumb surgery, so he's out for a while. You can expect to see slugger Matt Holliday get some playing time at first base this summer. Manager Mike Matheny is calling that a viable option after Holliday has spent a lot of time taking reps at first base this spring. He's been playing his usual left field, though, the last few games. The Cardinals' spring roster down to 41 players after another round of cuts yesterday. Among them, outfielder Anthony Garcia. He was optioned to Memphis. First baseman Jonathan Rodriguez and third baseman Patrick Wisdom were reassigned to minor league camp. And this was a note that this was released early last week. I just didn't get to it on any of the sportscasts. But the Ohio Valley Conference Board of Athletic Directors and the Board of Presidents have approved a plan to move the OVC Softball Championship to Oxford, Alabama for the next 2 years beginning this season. Now, that is a neutral site. It's not anyone's home stadium. So they're doing this sort of like the baseball championship, which is held in Jackson, Tennessee. Now, this year's A-team double elimination tournament will be held May 11th through 14th at Chocoloco Park in Oxford. The 2016 season marks the 23rd year for the OVC Softball Championship, but it's the first year the tournament's been held at a neutral site. The previous 22 seasons, the league's tournament has been held on the campus site of the number one seed, but that will no longer be the case. All right, that has you caught up. Remember, if you are a Cardinals fan looking for Cardinals schedules, we have those at our studios. All you have to do is come in the front door. We have a bunch. If you need a handful, that's okay. If you run out or lose yours, that's fine. I think they sent us 10,000 this year. We've never run out of them, and we don't expect to this year either. So we have plenty of those if you'd like to come in and get them absolutely free of charge. That's going to wrap up our Neil Bradley show today. Glad to be back with you. Josh Planos will join me. We'll find out what Josh has been up to the last couple of weeks. We'll talk NBA plus some NCAA tournament on the Tuesday edition of the show at 1340WNBS.com.